Just make it.
Well, I'm not, it's almost become required by law that if you make a bear guy, you got to customize it somehow. I'm either thinking of Smokey the Bear Guy or doing a Jabman Bear Guy and giving him a goatee.
Hello, and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, where context is overrated. With me tonight is Jeff. Say hello.
Hi.
And I am, of course, Scott, doing my thing, not wearing pants.
Too much information. Just saying, so, we didn't need to know that.
Hey, it's not like I'm it's not like I'm fully describing what color my underwear is.
Whitey-tighties for me. See? Now you're creeped out, too.
Yeah. And the subject of this episode is too much information, so, you know, we're going to roll with that. I've got a zit in an awkward place.
It only goes down here from here, folks. On.
Okay, yep. So, pick of the week, where stuff is cool.
Yay, cool stuff. What's your pick of the week, Scott?
My pick of the week is Just Cause 2.
Yes, I've heard from a very reliable source you've been playing this way too much.
Yes. Why? Just cause. You're a guy. You get dropped into the island nation of Made-Upistan and are told to overthrow the an evil dictatorial regime. And it's an open world sandboxy thing, and I find a lot of these games that the story tends to work cross purposes with the gameplay. Like in Red Dead Redemption, it's very hard to tell a story about a gunfighter on the mend when the second you get off, you know, the train at the beginning, you can immediately shoot up everything and, you know, hogtie a woman and leave her on the train tracks. And then when you finally get back to the main plot, go back to John Marsden acting kind of like a wuss. And here, the game encourages you to go off on crazy rampages and jump off buildings and drive motorcycles into stuff. You get points.
So what you're saying is you enjoy causing death, chaos, and destruction.
Yep. Also, grappling hook and infinite parachutes.
Nice.
It's fun. Yeah.
Laws of physics are overrated also.
Yeah.
My pick of the week goes to Portal 2. I was a huge fan of Portal 1. I'm really enjoyed Portal 2. Truthfully, I've gone back and played the game over again, the single-player game, and it is actually surprisingly short once you've figured out all the puzzles. But playing it through the first time is a load of fun, and it has perhaps the single greatest ending to a game I have ever seen. It satisfied me in every way possible. It was a good ending to the whole saga. It was funny. I'm in space. Awesome.
Yeah.
Space!
And J.K. Simmons was just nailed it. Yeah, J.K. Simmons was just an awesome addition to this game, and his character was great. And hearing him in that makes me really excited to see how he does playing Aang Jr. in the next Airbender TV series.
And
really, he's...
Go ahead.
No, really, he's voicing Aang Jr.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
But, no, I loved... The one I liked the most was from the first game, GLaDOS, or GLaDOS, if you want. And you can kind of get her origin and how she came to be. And the whole time, you know, when she's turned into a potato, is probably some of the best voice acting in a video game I've ever seen. It's stupid yet awesome. Two of my favorite things. That and the guy who played Wheatley, who sounds really, really similar to Too Old for Toys to the point that it creeps me out a little.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Wheatley was created by the greatest minds of a generation to be the perfect idiot.
Well, someone had to do it. Black Mesa wasn't going to design the world's greatest idiot.
Didn't they design Sarah Palin? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no one designed Sarah Palin.
Alaska designed Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Like the same way Frankenstein's monster did. But anyway. Okay, enough Palin jokes. Yeah. What are we here to talk about, Scott?
We are talking about the perils of fanboyism and franchises that just need to die.
Amazing how the two are linked, aren't they?
Well, yeah, it's a very... They tend to sync up more than you'd want them to.
More often than not, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there, because I've always believed this to be true. Trolls and fanboys are two sides of the same coin. There's only one difference. Trolls hate everything. Fanboys love everything. Let's take the clearest example of fanboyism I know of, Nintendo fanboys. Nintendo fanboys, every game, every system, everything that Nintendo puts out is a gift from God. Every Mario game, no matter how many times they've recycled the same thing, is nothing short of a miracle sent to us for us to play and enjoy. Whereas trolls, everything that involves Nintendo, if they are a troll of Nintendo, is the repeating of the same thing and is crap. Every single they put out, oh, they just put out that game. Oh, they just did that. They don't bother to see the things that Nintendo has improved on, while the fanboys don't bother to see the things that they're recycling over and over again.
Speaking of, have you heard the design for the Project Cafe?
I've heard rumors.
They've confirmed a couple of things. Apparently, there is going to be like a 6-inch touch screen in the controller that will also be able to be used as an independent game system.
I've heard that rumor, yes.
So, like, a DS every year wasn't enough.
Right,
like,
right.
They're just going to raffle stomp the portable market all over again.
Well, it's not shocking, really. I mean, they own the portable market. Every time PSP tries to touch them with a 10-foot pole, they just bit-slap them back down. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And I really don't want to pick on Sony because they have really got their ass kicked over the past couple of months.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to say about that, just because, is that something they're doing very, very wrong is that all the little rewards you get for now that the store's back and the network's up are all upsells, and that's sort of a dick move. Like, yeah, I'm getting two free games, but most of the games are stuff that have sequels coming up. Like, right now I could go upstairs and download Infamous 1. And when's Infamous 2 come out?
Tuesday.
Next week? Yeah, Tuesday. So by the time this drops, it will already be on shelves for a few days.
Right.
And the same thing with a month free of Plus. It's like, yeah, that's not there because Plus is an awesome service. It's there because they want me to sell me a whole year of Plus once my 30 days are up.
Right.
Like, it's good that they're doing something, but they just seem to be parlaying this into, you know, spending more money on them soon.
Well, they're trying to parlay, but heck, they're a business. They're not just going to give you something for free without a little bit of attached to it. They're going to say, here's 30 days of PlayStation Plus, which I think they should have done when they first introduced the service in the first place, but whatever. And here's a couple of games you can download. If you like them, the sequel's coming out right now. Check them out. I'm not shocked they did that. I mean, they're giving you Little Big Planet, Mod Nation, and Infamous, along with two downloadable titles. Oddly enough, I own all three of those, so I'm going to end up getting the downloadable titles. But...
So you can look forward to both of us reviewing Wipeout HD in about a month.
Already got that.
Yeah. Oh.
So my choices are pretty simple. It's the only two that I don't have. The Zombie Game and Super Stardust.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of things on PSP. I don't think I'll...
Which nobody really cares about.
Yeah.
But...
That Marcus kid's annoying.
Yes, he is.
Like, especially when you have... Well, it's especially annoying when you have the lead of Sony America trying to convince them that it's, like, a grown-up adult portable system. It's like, why is your spokesperson a 12-year-old?
Right. Because they're trying to take away some of DS's strength, and they fail every time. Just... Except that Nintendo will own the portable market until they decide to do something really stupid. And if the truth about the cafe system is real, they aren't going to do anything stupid.
No.
They're just going to milk it more.
But yes, back on to fanboys. Indeed. I just got back from an anime convention.
Oh, Lord.
My...
Fanboy hell or heaven, depending on your point of view.
Oh, like, I was sitting... Like, one thing that's become an annual tradition for me is now running the Gundam panels at Anime North. And I'm sitting there in the first panel of the weekend, and this guy is... must have been like 17, little douchebag teenager, half mustache thing going, dressed like Kira, and I'm like completely unapologetically praising this character that no one else in the room likes.
Him.
No, this is a room full of 30 mech fans for this panel.
Him. You do realize who you're talking to.
Yes, yes. And I'm just going to keep dancing around this, because in a few weeks, you wait.
I had a feeling as soon as the fanboy I knew fanboy was coming up, we would eventually end up here. So let me get this out of the way first off.
Yeah.
People say, I've heard, are you a fanboy of Destiny? Are you obsessed with Destiny? Is that why they call you the defender of Destiny? No, I am not. I think the show is flawed. The show has the worst final episode of any Gundam series ever made, by far. What I am fighting against is said trolls who think it is nothing short of an apocalyptic end of all things anime. Who think, this is the worst pile of crap I've ever seen in existence. No, it is not. But I won't get on a rant there.
Yeah.
And I don't, and, you know, some people really do like the Kira character. I think he has a lot to offer. But again, I don't think he's, you know, an Amuro Ray. I don't think he has the same depth as a lot of other characters do. But fanboys, when they attach themselves to a certain show, a certain character or whatever, they get to the point of obsessive compulsive, and if you should attack said the thing they don't like, and you just say, well, I don't like that, they will literally want to cut your head off. I'm going to tell a story about this is one at a convention, but this was just someone I met. He is a Star Trek fanboy. Mm-hmm. Now, they like to be called Trekkers, not Trekkies, but...
Roddenberry like Trekkie.
Whatever. The point is, I didn't care for... what was the last Star Trek TV series? Star Trek...
Enterprise. Which wasn't good.
It was okay, but it was part of the kind of thing that... First season was okay, and it went downhill from there. I enjoyed Scott Bakula as the captain, but that was about it. But things just kind of went downhill from there. And I told him as such, and I just didn't care for that series. It was, you know, I liked Voyager, Deep Space Nine, all those a lot better than that. And then he pretty much proceeded to try and kill me verbally. He said, it's because of fans like you that show got canceled. It's because of fans like you that Star Trek's in the shape it is. It's all your fault that things are going on. I'm like, dude, just because I don't like something.
I think you'd want quality products.
Right. Just because I don't like something does not make me Satan.
And that's another thing that's common in this fanboy attitude is that if you don't like the thing, it's like you don't like them either. It's become a personal attack.
Indeed. Well, they've become so attached to the show or the character or what have you, that if you attack that character or show, you are attacking them. You are attacking their personality. Like, if I told you, you know, Kira isn't the deepest character on Earth, some people would want my head on a pole.
People be nuts. Like, what's interesting as I'll get out is that another recurring panel that I sometimes pop into is this one person runs a thing called, runs a panel called Graduating from Shonen Jump. Now, I'm not saying Shonen Jump doesn't have its better points to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a presumption in there. Like, the guy's a bit of a troll about it. Like, there's a presumption that if it runs in Jump, it must be bad.
Right.
And that somehow if you spend most of your time on Jump shows, you aren't really maturing as a fan or
right.
something.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? You're going to like what you're going to like.
Right.
And I'm like, there are people who have invested way too much time into Naruto.
Right, right. Like,
but I'm not going to... But aside from recommending them a few other things to try, I'm not going to care as long as they leave me alone in kind.
Right, right. Well, like I said before, fanboys and trolls are the same person. They just, you know, look at things from the exact opposite angle. Trolls look at a show like Naruto and see it as the bane of human existence. You know, anyone who likes Naruto is Narutard. They are evil. They are hampering the anime industry. They are destroying the world as we know it. And the fanboys of Naruto, if you don't like Naruto, there is something wrong with your brain. You have mental damage if you don't like this show. What's wrong with you? See, most people fall in the middle ground. The problem is both the trolls and the fanboys are the loudest people there.
Yep.
And if I just want to put like an army of trolls and an army of fanboys in one room, lock the doors, and see what happens after an hour. Mm-hmm. Probably nothing outside of a lot of yelling, but it'd be fun nonetheless.
Any other fun encounters with the fans?
Well, not true. I mean, I've seen encounters between strange things at cons, but that might be for another episode, strange things you've seen at cons. But
yeah.
But I've seen, you know, Gundam, because you obviously know I'm heavily involved in Gundam, so I've seen lots of fanboys of certain things, like certain suits, certain mechs. I know people who are nothing short of obsessed with Wing Zero Endless Waltz version.
It's really cool looking.
It's cool looking, and you know, and when I've given bad reviews to certain kits, like I complained about some things to the 00 Quanta when I did the review, and I got some people who said, "How dare you say such a thing about the 00 Quanta? That's a minor flaw. That doesn't ruin the whole kit." I'm like, "It's just my opinion, dude. The world does not revolve around what I say about this kid. If you want it, buy it. Go do whatever you please."
Yeah.
I mean, I am not the end-all, be-all, alpha and omega decision on Gunpla. If I just tell you what I think, if you want to listen to me, great, I appreciate it. If you don't care what I think, I don't really care either.
Yeah. Actually, coming up fairly soon is... part of my little review thing I do is eventually I will have posted reviews of some my first reviews of D&D 4th edition. And this is... And at the end of the day, I think I'm going to say it's average, which will lead to both sides hating me.
Right. You got to take one side or the other. You got to say it's crappy. You got to say it's good. If you say, it's okay, everyone thinks you're wrong.
Yep.
Except for the quiet majority. They think, oh, okay. But the hazard with fanboyism and trollisms... Trollisms? Is that a word? Trollism?
I think so.
Okay. Trollism and fanboyism is they are the loudest and biggest minority I've ever seen. If there's one troll in the room, there's one fanboy in a room full of hundreds, you will know exactly who they are within about 5 minutes.
Actually, speaking of tabletop games, you want to see some crazy stuff. Like, tabletop game edition wars have the weirdest adherence ever. Like, there are people who are convinced that, you know, 77's OD&D Redbox is still the best product ever made.
Yikes.
Yep.
I ran into a Virtual Boy fan once. Remember the Virtual Boy?
Yeah. So, which of the 17 games did he actually like?
The Wario Land Virtual Boy game. He thought that was one of the best side-scrolling games ever. I'm like, it was all in red.
I don't think it's worth any of the headaches.
Right, the headaches, or the fact, I did actually play a Virtual Boy for like an hour. Yeah. And it didn't give me a headache, but when I did, you know, finally stop playing and looked around, everything had a red tinge to it. And that really creeped me out until it went away.
Yeah.
I'm worried I kind of went into Cyclops land from the X-Men. I was like, oh, crap, everything I'm going to see is red.
I fiddled with that in an in-store display once. I'm glad I had the in-store display. I don't think I had any idea how to set it up on a table.
It comes with a little tripod. My cousin, when they were clearing them out at one time at Walmart, he picked it up. He paid a whole $40 for it. And he picked up, you know, a few games. And he said, hey, why not? They're clearing them out. And, you know, he let me try it when I was over there one time. And it's a fun little system, despite the fact that it, you know, messes with your eyes, which is kind of a bad thing if you're one of people to play it a lot. But like I said, there's a fanboy for everything. What was the from Gundam MHQ, that show which they profile on Anime Toilet? Something something colon Death Force.
Oh, MD Geist.
MD Geist. There was a fanboy for MD Geist. It just so happened that he happened to be a guy running an anime.
Well, actually, there's this great story about from. He writes for ANN now, but at one point he had worked for Manga Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so this guy was his boss, and over the years, even that guy slowly started to realize that I have no reason to like this as much as I do.
Right.
Like, over the years it became, this is the best anime ever, this is the best bad anime ever.
Right. Sometimes reality will catch up with you. I'm sure at some point in my model building career, I slowly realized I've gone through obsessive compulsive disorder with all my, you know, model kits, but I accepted it and moved on and kept on building, so.
Speaking of obsessive compulsive, I was trying to find touch-up paint, and I'm sitting there in the model store going through all the paint aisles holding a little bit of the sprue that I'd spray-painted, comparing, and it's like, is this Battleship or Hull Gray?
Yep. I've done the same thing many times. When I was building my Crossbone X2, I wasn't exactly sure which color of dark blue to use. I must spend a half hour looking at three cans of dark blue before I made up my mind. Just looking, which one's better? Which one's better? I flag people down. Hey, which one looks the best to you? And they're like, whatever you like, man. Hey, buddy. Yeah, I know you don't build models. You're just here for the RC step. But which one looks better? That's another episode.
Too much. The obsessive. Too many paint fumes.
Yeah, that's another episode somewhere down the line. The obsessive compulsive disorder of model builders.
Yep.
So yeah, just come up with episodes for you nonstop. That's why you keep me around here, Scott.
Oh yeah.
Now, all right. Shall we move on to franchises that must die? Not surprisingly, heavily linked to fanboyism and trolls.
Yes, I think it's about time.
Can I step up to the plate on this one?
Sure.
Because I've had one I wanted to say needs to die and is well overdue for its death. And it's probably not the one you're thinking of. First, I want to start talking about Naruto. And no, this isn't the series. Naruto, when it follows the manga, when it follows the original story that the creator envisioned, it is actually pretty good, despite the fact that they have some rapping ninjas, but we'll ignore that. But overall, the main story and the main plot is good. It's just the filler, when they add the filler in to fill in some gaps or they need some extra time, that's what really sucks about that show. There was another show in that same vein called Bleach. When it first started, it was very, very impressive. The first two or three story arcs in the manga and on the show were very impressive and very good. Since then, things have kind of strayed off into oblivion on both the manga and the TV show. I don't know where the author is going with this anymore. I kind of think he's kind of pulling plots out of his ass. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not sure anyone does. Dragon Ball Z was along that same vein. It started going off into oblivion and started getting a little weird and sidetracky, but that's when they stopped it. And that's when Akira Toriyama knew, okay, things are getting a little wacky and out of hand here. Let's just end it. Enough is enough. And they kind of forced things with Dragon Ball GT, and we all saw how that turned out. The guy from Bleach obviously hasn't quite figured out that he kind of needs to dial it down a bit. He's gone a little overboard, and the franchise just needs to end.
Yeah, this is something I think in general is that I think Shonen Jump does need to die. As much as I'm like, there are a few things Shonen Jump has produced that are actually very good, I just think that they do this thing. The editors do this thing where they find bright, young, talented people with good ideas, and then they drive them into the ground. I don't think anyone who's worked for them has ever been particularly happy doing it. Everything, if you're making money for them, they aren't going to let you stop.
Right. Well,
and that's why so much of their stuff just gets really bloated and uninteresting about two-thirds through the run.
Right, but I wouldn't blame, at least solely on Shōjin Jump, because, yeah. Look, Shōnen Jump is in the business of making money.
Yes.
They are not holding a gun to the author's head saying, keep making us money. They're saying...
Little bit. Just a little.
But they're not forcing them. They're saying, they just sign them to a contract and say, here, this is how long you're going to do this. When this is up, you can sign another contract with us, or you can go do whatever the hell you please. And they almost always let the original author keep some of his or her rights. Granted, they usually end up owning the show, which is kind of what happened with Dragon Ball. And they decided to make another cash cow with GT, but that ended up being a bit of a train wreck. They are in the business of making money. They are not in the business of making art, which a lot of people seem to forget. Like, why has Shōnen Jump done all this thing? And I'm like, because they want to make money. Like, when people ask, why is Genon whoring out Eva stuff so much? There's way too much Eva crap. And I'm like, because people are buying it.
Yeah, someone buys it.
As long as someone's buying it, they're going to keep on making it. You got anything you want to kill besides Shōnen Jump?
Shōnen Jump, Naruto in specific.
Go after Naruto.
I can understand the bits people like. I really do. I just think it's really bloated. Like, I've tried to get into this show twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once, watching the anime.
Mm-hmm.
Then I tried reading the manga. Mm-hmm. Got to the same port in the storyline. And this is about midway through the Chunin exams. The point where everyone agrees it gets good.
Uh-huh.
Now, at this point, you're either in 100 chapters of manga.
Right.
Or 26 episodes of animation. That is either 1 or 2 years of content if you're watching weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that takes more than a year to get good just deserves to die. Like, it shouldn't have... You don't get a whole year to get good.
I wouldn't... But I'm not going to sit here and say that you're wrong here. Because Naruto at
some
point...
Or two in print. 2 years!
I know. I'm just saying that when Naruto is in print for the first year or two, there are good points. You're right. It really gets good. It really gets enjoyable around that turn in the plot, and that's where things really start kicking up and start getting away from the boy ninja bit. But I'll say that when Naruto hits home, it hits home. I'll freely admit that 9 times out of 10, it doesn't hit home. It swings and misses. But when it's good, it's good. Bleach is one of those shows that it just hasn't been good in a very long time.
Yeah.
So I will, for people who want to kill Naruto, I'd sit back and say, give it some space. At times, it's good. For those who want to kill Bleach, I'm like, here's my axe, buddy. Enjoy.
All right, you got another one for the chopping block?
I got another one, and the Nintendo fanboys may put a hit out on me after this. Is Sam in the room?
Leaving the room.
Okay, thank God, because she would probably kill me. I think a game franchise that needs to be finished off is Metroid. There's certain things you can't do with Metroid anymore. It was a puzzle game. It worked all right as a first-person shooter, but let's face it, at the end of the day, it's a puzzle game. They tried a reboot with Metroid from Team Ninja, and that was a bit of a train wreck. There are certain things that deserve remakes, but not reboots. If you want to go back and remake the original Metroid or Metroid 2 or Super Metroid, that's fine. You can go remake those games. But as a franchise, just stop it where it's at. I think Metroid has reached the end of its road of what it can do with the series. I think it's made as many good games as it's going to make. It doesn't need to go any further.
I'd be up for agreeing with that. I think there are some things that, you know, were good for their time and good for their sort of the hardware that could support them. But at this point, getting a full narrative out of Metroid is not going to work.
Right. I mean, for its time, yeah, it was a great game. For this time, it just ain't going to fly anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like exploration is now incorporated into pretty much into a great deal of games now.
Right.
So the unique hook of Metroid of exploring and fiddling around is, you know, no longer all that unique.
Right. I mean, if you wanted to if you want to remake the old Metroid game, that's fine, because if you look at some other great games, you can see Metroid's influence in there. One I always say is Batman Arkham Asylum. That is Metroid with a Batman costume. That's what it is. The whole game is a Metroid game where you go around and get different things and go back to the same areas again and open up new areas that you couldn't before. That's Metroid. But, you know, there's more to it than that. There's battling. There's a story. There's a narrative. There's great characters. Metroid, you just can't really do that with. You're kind of stuck with, you know, pretty girl in an armor suit running around opening little levels with not much of a story behind it.
One that I'd actually like to see die, X-Men comics.
Ooh.
Like, what are they up to now? Like, this is, like, the most bloated continuity, convoluted continuity I've ever seen.
Right.
With dangling plot threads that go on for decades.
Well, I think this is going to be one. I think it's already been killed, Sam. I mean, Sam. Scott. Sorry. I'm sorry. That was creepy. No, I think it's already been killed. I don't remember the artist writer off the top of my head. The whole Zorn saga, where Zorn was Magneto and Magneto killed the X-Men, that pretty much ended X-Men right there. Ever since then, they've been trying to clean up that mess. And I don't think they ever did or ever can. They just need to...
But they still get like 6 books a month.
Right, and they're all a bit of a wreck. They need to just cut the characters loose. They just need to take those characters and just split them up. Yeah, they've already kind of done it to some extent. They put Wolverine on the Avengers. Professor X isn't even an X-Men anymore. They're just, you know, all convoluted, all running around. Just break it up, end it, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
They're trying to bring back a corpse is what they're doing. The X-Men franchise, at least in comics, is dead. Let's leave it that way. Anything else you want to kill or...
There's a few I'm thinking of. Leaving comics and getting into video games. Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that was my next one, too.
Like, I think at this point, and Kingdom Hearts while we're at it, actually.
I
have an argument for that. I have an argument about Kingdom Hearts, but we'll start with Final Fantasy. At this point, we have a design team that has been working on Final Fantasy for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're running the company.
Right.
So they're letting their excesses run incredibly wild. Deadlines are slipping every which way. You know, everything that was sort of unique about them at first has just gotten overblown and annoying now. And let's face it, we haven't had a good numerical Final Fantasy since 12, which was designed by different people.
Right.
The thing about Final Fantasy is that, technically, yes, you could bring in new people, you know, revamp the franchise every time they're reinventing the wheel. But no! Some things just need to be stopped. Just put the nails in the coffin. And this is something else that bugs me, is that every time they insist on completely redesigning how they do combat and level ups, they don't have the chance to build on all the design work they put in the first time.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying sphere grids were perfect or anything, but if you'd come back to them once or twice, you know, if sphere grids from 10 were confusing and messy and didn't totally, and were kind of weird, but if you had gone back to them for, you know, 12 and 13, maybe they would have been a hell of a lot better. Instead, we, you know, they sort of come back to them for 13, and they're still in the same shape they were then.
I think that the lesson Square Enix needs to be taught, but apparently they just missed the lesson altogether, is that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Sometimes they will figure something out. They will figure out a combat system. They will figure out a certain item system or a certain system within the game that works well. And they always seem to want to screw with it and change it to something else. If it doesn't work, try something new. If it works, leave it the hell alone. There's a reason, you know, Final Fantasy's just kept climbing. It's because they kept certain systems from one game to the next. So if you were a fan of the last game, you could jump right into the next game. The story would be different. You'd get a whole new narrative to play with. But lately, they seem to want to reinvent the wheel and change everything for every game, while the story is pretty much the same story. I'm going to go ahead and tell Square Enix this. People do not play your games for the gameplay. They play your games for the story.
Mm-hmm. And even then, you're starting to fall flat. The characters are getting more and more annoying.
Well, not so much annoying as they're just the same as the last game. I mean, and like the in Final Fantasy, which one had lightning in it? The number of
13.
13. Lightning was the Cloud if he were a girl. Seriously, that's basically
so
the
just Cloud.
Pardon?
So just Cloud.
Kind of, yeah. But yeah. It's the same character type. They just change the look. You got to try and mix things up with the story every now and then. And adding a black guy with an afro doesn't count.
And I think that was a failing on localization's part. I think for not dubbing him as, you know, crazy blaxploitation character. I'm sorry. You see that man with that afro, and he is not pitying fools and...
Indeed.
...referring to... and speaking jive.
Why,
you have failed
there wasn't
as a
one
team.
Line of, hey, yo, sucker? I don't know. Why not just throw that in there once?
Yeah. Like, just for the sake of comparison.
Right.
Super Robot Wars, the original generation games, they have this character. He's this really Rastafarian-looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese, he talked normally like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Atlus took one look at him and was like, no, he is a Rasta man.
Mm-hmm.
He is now going to say Mon a lot.
Yeah, Mon. I will blow you up with the giant robot, Mon.
Yes, like one of his attack taunts is, I'll show you the pride of a self-made Mon.
Oh, Lord. But if you're going to do that, just... Throw your three sheets to the wind and just do it. Don't try and downplay what you know is already there.
I'm sorry, this man, like, as much as, like, Nobuo Uematsu's got a pretty good composer and the team of orchestrators he has behind him now is really solid, that man deserves a funk soundtrack in the background when he walks around.
He just walks out and bounce, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Just when I see him walking around to porn music. No, sorry. But I'm going to throw in another thing that Square Enix has failed and why their franchise should just die, is they don't listen to their fans. They're, you know, not even us, the international fans, which most Japanese don't listen to anyway, but their own hardcore base fans in Japan. What game did they want to see? What game did the entire Japanese gaming community say, we want that game? Give us that game. There was a little tech promo for a Final Fantasy VII game running on the PS3. As soon as everyone saw it, they said, make it. We will buy it in droves. We will do whatever you want. Make the game. And Square said, we're not interested in making that. I'm sorry. Like, if the entire fan community says, we will give you our wallets on a silver platter, you can take out as much as you like. Make the bloody game.
Like, and there's a certain attitude among Square Enix fans is that, you know, remaking Final Fantasy VII is half done. And I'm like, it's harder than you think.
Right.
Like,
it's not something
you're
going
to need to build
overnight.
Full 3D.
It will take several years of work to do such a game. But.
But.
They could make a shitload of money. And yes, I said shitload if they did it.
And at this point, they should consider it, because they only made about 74 million, 74 or 740 million yen last year.
Right.
So they should consider that. That is also down from an expected income of last year of 11 billion.
Right. You want something that can make you some money, that can fill in some gaps. There you go. Yeah. Fans have been asking for it. Listen to your fans. I'm not saying do whatever the fans tell you to do, but listen to them. Because as we mentioned before, there are a lot of fanboys and trolls who are very vocal, and if you do whatever they tell you to do, you'll have some kind of horrifying car crash of hate and love. But if you listen to them and take some of the things they are saying that are good, along with some of the more mainstream fans who are not insane, you can get some good points. Say what you want about the Halo games and Resistance and Killzone. They listen to their fans. The fans tell them, we want to see this and this and this. And they'll go, okay, we'll try and work that in. They don't get everything they want, but they get some of the things they wanted to see.
Yeah. Now, getting to Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Now, this is my argument on Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts started out as this fluffy little, like, it was almost an excuse plot. Like, the whole point was to throw Final Fantasy and some Disney characters together and do all sorts of crazy crossover adventures. Like, you just wanted to see the characters do stuff and mess around and play around in the environments. That's all anyone wanted from the game.
Right.
Then they decided to build this big, complex plot around it, and now it's basically entirely about a bunch of original characters, with the Disney stuff just there, and looking increasingly incongruous as part of the franchise. Like, when the reason you create the game starts to look like it's not part of the game anymore,
well,
maybe it's time to end it.
I agree with you in the fact that, yes, it's kind of gotten away from the Disney, but think of the alternative. Do you really want to see a bunch of Final Fantasy characters playing a Disney-style game with Disney characters? Do you really want to see, you know, Mickey Mouse's backyard jamboree with Cloud and Sephiroth? If you're going to throw Final Fantasy and a Disney franchise together, you pretty much have to do a Final Fantasy-type game there. Because you can't have Final Fantasy characters in a Mickey Mouse game. It just doesn't work
like
that.
I'm just saying is that you didn't need to build this whole complex backstory to do it. Like, if you had just kept recycling the same basic plot of, oh, a bunch of Disney villains have teamed up to start shit, let's get a character who can hop through dimensions to save the day. Like, if you'd done that two or three more times, I don't think anyone would have actually complained as long as you kept changing up the environments. Because at this point, all anyone wants from the franchise is, I want to see this Disney movie! Oh my god, they did Tron!
Yeah.
Like, and the biggest complaint I see is, really? 100 Acre Wood. Again.
Well, you gotta throw some kind of story. You can't just level hop from place to place. Granted, they've gone a little overboard with the story. They've gotten way too deep and involved, which, you know, Square Enix tends to do from time to time. They get too obsessed with their own story. But this can be weeded out. I'm not saying kill the franchise, because I see hope for this. I still see a way out of this mess. And I see you can just, you know, cut through some of all this excess bullshit they've added on. Am I saying this will happen? I don't know.
No.
I think we're going to see something worse happen. I see hope for a Kingdom Hearts franchise. I really don't
I
see
hope
for
Kingdom
Final
Hearts
Fantasy.
3 will manage to find a group of characters more annoying than Organization 13.
They can weed this out. That's all I'm saying. This is.
I don't think they will.
Okay, fine. They might weed this out. It can be done. You know, I'm not saying I could fix it, but I know that it can be fixed. Whereas Final Fantasy, the time for fixing has passed, okay? We have gone too far down into this pit. I don't think there's a way they can climb back out. Whereas Kingdom Hearts is heading towards the pit, and if we hurry, we can stop things before they get bad.
One thing I was going to mention, but apparently it's already happened, was Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Right.
Like, I don't think the games are bad, I just don't think they need an annual disc release for it. And Activision was like, it's too expensive for us to make Guitar Hero anymore. We're going to stop. And Rock Band, and then EA and Harmonix were like, well, we aren't going to release discs anymore. We're just going to keep the DLC store going.
Right.
And that's all I really wanted. Like, basically, if they told me Rock Band 4 was coming out, I'm like, okay, here's what I want you to do with Rock Band 4. Give me a code that will let me buy 80 songs from the store, the engine for the game, so I get all the pretty new graphics, and nothing else. Like, nothing actually on the disc other than the game engine. Let me pick songs I want.
Well, I agree with you there. That's what they... I think Rock Band's making the right decision by just making it a DLC system. But I think Guitar Hero shot the goose that laid the golden egg. They had a hit on their hand.
There were two a year, pardon? Basically. They were basically putting out two disc games a
right.
year.
They were, you know, they had a golden goose, and they pretty much strangled him to death trying to get as many gold eggs as they could. Just, you know, that's one of those systems, or one of those game franchises... You let marinate over time. You don't milk it so fast that you kill it, and that's what they did. And Guitar Hero will always be held up as a platform is, if you have a hit franchise, don't do this. You will kill it. But what other things I think should die a horrible, painful, disgusting death? Okay, here's one. And this pains me to say this, but I think they should go ahead and just stop with the Metal Gear Solid. I know it's not going to happen. I know.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, Kojima wants to. Like, he's told, like, he told the story about Boss, and he told the story about Snake, and he wants to stop.
Right. Well,
Kenobi's...
At the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, that's another game, I mentioned Portal earlier, that had a great ending. It tied up everything. Made nice, quiet, little package, everything's good. There's no need to go back to it. Everybody's happy. But... Yet again, we're going back to it. We can't seem to leave that horse alone. Sometimes it's just time, even if you want more, it's best to leave them wanting more than to fill them up with too much. And I think Metal Gear Solid's starting to head down that road.
I think the next one's going to be the start of the decline. Like, I never played the PSP ones, but no one said anything terrible about it. But I think Rising's going to be the point where they're like, maybe it's time to put this to bed. Give me
now,
So I want a third Zone of the Enders game.
Now, full disclosure, I will be buying Rising anyway. I know I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I will be buying the game anyway, just because the only thing that makes this a saving grace is this is not a sequel to 4. This is going to be taking place between 3 and 4. That being said, I would be perfectly happy if they just said we're not going to make this game. I'm just, they haven't done anything yet that tells me, you got to kill this right now. But they have got me worried. They've got me to the point where I'm starting to get a little worried, Kojima. Can we just, you know, leave this alone now? You're good. You did a great job. You put a nice little bow on everything, tied everything up. Perfect ending. Leave it alone.
Yeah. All right. Last one for video games for me, and then I've got, I think, one or two more, is Pokemon.
Oh, dear.
Like, as far as I can tell...
Sam's gonna kill you.
No, Sam agrees.
Really? Hmm.
Yeah. Like, so, like this is the thing, is that...
Baconator.
Pokemon, all it... Like, at this point, they've basically hammered out every issue they had with the combat system in the second generation. And each subsequent generation is adding a bunch of new monsters, most of which... And at this point, they're starting to get a little redundant. And one superfluous element that most of the player base ignores. Did anyone do Pokemon contests? No. No, you didn't. So all we can look forward to are a bunch of new monsters. Most of which will be not all that interesting anyway. I mean, really, how many birds and small rodents do we need?
Well, I think Pokemon is heading down the Guitar Hero lane. They're just doing it a lot slower. They're smart enough not to beat you over the head with it. They're slowly going to phase it out just because, let's face it, it's like Guitar Hero. There's not so much you can do with the gameplay. Guitar Hero, you're playing musical songs. That's all you're really doing. Pokemon, you're catching little monsters. You're training them. You're using them. And that's all you're really doing. There's not a whole lot you can develop on top of that.
Also, kill the anime.
Kill the enemy. Yeah, that's another thing that's kind of gone off into oblivion.
500 episodes, man. 500. 10 years of content. Weekly. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got another one that needs to die, and it pretty much is dead, and they keep trying to resurrect it. It's an old childhood favorite of mine. It's close to my heart. I'm talking
about... My Little Pony?
Yes, Scott, My Little Pony. The Rainbow Pony... Shut up.
I hear the new series is actually kind of entertaining.
Shut up. Okay, I walked right into that, but shut the hell up. Voltron. Voltron Force. Uh-huh. There was a short little CG series made with really crappy computer animation. They tried to resurrect that show a few years back. It was awful. I mean, just god-awful. They're getting ready to try it again. Voltron is one of those series I don't want to see them try and redo. There's even some rumors of a live-action movie, which would be...
No. It's a CG feature by the guys who are also working on the Gatchaman movie.
Right. That tells you all I need to know about that. Do we really need to keep going back to this? This was a childhood favorite, and when you look back at the show without nostalgia glasses...
It's pretty terrible.
It's terrible. But with what we were raised on, as mecha fans, this is your gateway drug for a lot of us. I know it was for me. It was this and Transformers, primarily Voltron. Voltron's kind of what hooked me up to the whole mech thing, and that's what kind of got me going. Do we really need to keep going back and beating a dead horse? It's dead. Let's leave it alone. Let's enjoy it with our nostalgia glasses, and let's not go back there.
Actually, speaking of that, filmmakers, stop bringing back the 80s. Really. Yes, Transformers made a lot of money. And I understand that you're making money, not art. But, what makes you think that a Robotech movie would be good? Or Voltron? Or Thundercats? Thundercats, man.
Well, they tried with G.I. Joe. I thought G.I. Joe would be the example. Because there's another show from my childhood that got... Did you ever watch that movie?
I did. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was Let's put it this way. I thought it was great as a live-action cartoon, but they did not market it that way. They marketed it as an action film. It was not an action film. That was a live-action cartoon.
Like, this movie needed a completely different marketing bent, and the problem is that they wrote it for a bunch of 7-year-olds who probably spend most of their time... They're associated with G.I. Joe are just, old toys they play with in the sandbox.
Right.
And then a bunch of, aging Gen Xers were like, oh my god!
Right. I remember...
I remember the cartoon. I want the cartoon.
Right. I remember completely... I'll freely admit it. I'm not a fanboy, but on occasion I will fanboy out. I remember I was watching the Super Bowl, and they aired a teaser trailer for G.I. Joe. And you saw a neat little action sequence with Snake Eyes flying through the air, fighting Storm Shadow, and I completely fanboyed out. I was like, yes, this is going to be great! And then I saw the final product. I was like, wow, this isn't what I was expecting. Because when they did that to Transformers, the movies are not really like the show at all. They keep some of the tropes, but really... What draws us in as kids, it's transforming robots. We don't really care about the story. They kind of updated it and made it a little bit better in the movies. Not really the second one, because the second one was the first one, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, I guess now that we've told filmmakers not to bring back the 80s, is something I really wish would die, D&D novels.
Oh.
Particularly the Forgotten Realms stuff. Like, at this point, like, the Forgotten Realms as a whole really needs to go. Like, when it started out in the 80s, second edition, this was the product of one guy. And now here we are 20 years on, and I think everyone and his dog has had his fingers in this pie at this point. And it's a completely unrecognizable mess. And they even sort of, like, nuked most of it. Like, you can tell when your franchise has gotten past the point of no return. When they nuke it all and do a time skip.
Right.
Except then they managed a way to keep all everyone's favorite canon NPCs around so we could keep writing novels, so we could see the further escalation and ridiculousness of, the dark elf douche.
Okay, full disclosure on this. I do not play D&D. That being said, my brother does. And in my family, I pretty much order everything online for everybody. If they want to buy something online, they go through me just to make things simple. And so we have as few credit cards out on there on the net as possible. And I will buy things for him. He'll just give me money for whatever he wants on Amazon or eBay or whatever.
Here's the list, here's a 50, here's the list, go.
Pretty much, yeah. And when I'm ordering these things, I'm ordering him his books, and it'll say version 4.0. And the amount of money he has to pay to get from 3.0 to 4.0 is insanity, considering I can't tell the difference between the two. Maybe there is a huge difference.
Well, in terms of game manuals, there's a huge difference between third edition and fourth, and that's part of why the edition war is so virulent this time around. But I'm just talking about the settings. Just most of them are overdeveloped and boring and not especially creative to begin with. Like this is a case of garbage in, garbage out,
Right.
and they just keep putting out more and more, more and more garbage out, and it's gotta stop.
Right. Well, as let's put it as a not a fan of D&D, as just a casual observer, I kind of look at D&D as recycling the same thing over and over and over and over again. It is the same genre. It doesn't fix what's broken, but it doesn't seem to evolve at all. It's pretty much the same thing it always was. Which is great for, new fans. They get involved with, same thing the veterans are getting involved with. But as a casual observer, it just kind of looks like something that is stagnated.
Well, yeah, and this is part of what I do review tabletop games, and the one thing I'm always looking for is new weird stuff. Like right now, the thing that has me most excited is the licensed game based on Smallville, because the mechanics are, instead of being like your typical RPG where you have a strength stat, all your stats are based around your values and your relationships. So instead of like going to punch a guy, so you add your strength and your fighting, it suddenly becomes, well, I'm punching you because you did something bad to my brother, so I'm rolling my justice and my relationship to my brother to punch you.
Ah, sounds
It's
complicated,
different.
but it does
Not
sound
really.
different. I will say that.
It's remarkably different.
Which, in a series that is pretty much the same thing over multiple, different genres, different is good. Because
Different is good.
I noticed my brother, like I said, he's a big D&D player, but one time he asked me to start looking for Star Wars RPG books on eBay and let him know if I found anything. And I found a couple of books for him, and he bought them. And I, when they showed up in the mail, I happened to look at them, and I was like, aside from the Star Wars, this looks pretty much the same as the D&D stuff. Maybe I was
Well,
wrong.
the most recent one was very good, and now it's dead, and I'm sad.
Why was it
Now
killed?
some
Was it too original?
no, but the problem is that Wizards of the Coast doesn't know how to really push marketing for anything that isn't D&D. So they've tried to start up a bunch of things and have them peter out because of lack of interest because they didn't really support it. And this was probably the best game they produced in a while, and it won a slew of awards, and then they just sort of didn't really push it while it was still hot. Three D&D manuals come out a month, and you'd get one every, and then you'd get six a year for Star Wars. And I think they delayed everything after the first book, so you had this big rush of people buying it and a lot of good press, and then you had to wait 4 months for the next supplement, and
So it's, they
interest
had
died
something good
off
and they didn't know how to
fast.
deal with it. Fair enough. Well, anything else you want to kill?
What else do I want to kill?
That's your title of this episode right there. What do we want to kill?
Supernatural, the TV show. They spent from season 1 to season 5, they spent this long time, nice slow burn, building up this big arc, and then they finished it. Like, season 5 was done. It was over. Ended well. Season 6 came, then they said, we're gonna make season 6. And the story is trying to build off stuff that happened, but not doing it well. And they're going back to the silly stuff. Like, there have been more comic relief episodes this season than any other. And that's usually pretty telling about the show. And they're going into season 7. So this is like, at this point, they're hitting an afterthought of an afterthought.
Right. Like when Buffy the Vampire Slayer started using puppets, things kind of, yeah, okay.
Hey, the puppet episode of Angel was awesome. Be quiet.
Yeah, I think you might be doing a little fanboy there. Anyway.
No, it was good. Like, unless they suddenly turn around and tell me that they're going to fight Cthulhu, I'm out.
Okay.
That's the other thing, I think, is that every time I think... this is my thing about any series, is like, once I think they've really finished it, and they say there's going to be more, and the answer isn't, they're fighting Cthulhu, I'm immediately out. More people need to fight Cthulhu.
Everything is better when Cthulhu is fought. South Park taught us that.
South Park had an amazing season last year. Cthulhu was in it.
Cthulhu, these are not... and friends, I love you, Cthulhu. Anyway.
Like, this was not entirely coincidence, I do not think.
Indeed. Something I want to kill. I have no chance of actually killing this, but I want it dead anyway. This is like fighting Cthulhu. You can't kill him, you can just try. Way back in the, I want to say, early 90s, late 80s, there was a show called The Real World. Basically a reality show following a bunch of kids around as they lived in this house. Which was kind of fun for its time. I mean, it was kind of neat and amusing. Now, to the point where every show's got its real world. There's still The Real World. There's Road Rules. There's Jersey Shore. There's Real Housewives of Atlanta. There's Real So-and-So. Real this. Real that. Shut up. I do not care about all these people. I do not care about everything they have to say in their tiny little lives. I'm sick of it. I understand that, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, following someone around with a camera, a real person, was new and different and kind of interesting. They weren't actors. This was the real world. Now, I don't care about the real world anymore. I live in the real world. Thanks to the universe of Twitter and Facebook and all that crap, everything you do in your life is available for everyone to see as it happens. I've had enough of reality television and seeing other people's lives. If I want to see other people's lives, I can look on Twitter and Facebook and find out exactly what they're doing up to the second almost. Rant over.
Well, it's not that it's like people watch, and it's really cheap to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much why they make reality television, is they're not paying actors. I mean, the whole thing...
They aren't really paying writers.
They're not really paying writers. They're just paying cameramen to follow these people around. Basically, the only thing, like, I always remember the line from Real World was, what did you get paid to do this? And they said, we got free room and board. That's pretty much it. That's why it was such a great success, because there's no actors.
Free room and board and C-list celebrity status.
Right. You will get, you know, people will know your name for, you know, 6 months, in which case they will forget you ever existed. Unless your name is Puck, and then you will go down in history as one of the most annoying sons of bitches in history.
Something I don't want to die, but something I really want to see happen is I want to see BioWare buy themselves out of EA.
Not going to happen.
I know, but I just want them to stop being an EA sequel machine.
That's what EA makes, is sequel machines.
But they make such good games if you give them more than 18 months to make them.
Hey, they're giving Mass Effect 3 extra time. They were saying December, now they're saying March. And I'll bet you Dallas Donuts it ends up being December again, just 2012 December.
Yeah, well, the extra time was, like, they didn't give them extra time to work on it. They gave them extra time because they were worried about flooding the RPG market in December. Like, they had three RPGs EA was putting out three RPGs in that quarter. Much less, you know, having to go toe-to-toe with Skyrim and a few other things.
Yeah. As the old saying goes, they are in the business of making money.
But they're electronic artists. That's the name of the company.
But they're still a company. There's a big difference between a company and an artist. Artists make something for the love of the art. Company makes stuff to make money.
Uh-huh. See, someone, you got anything?
Someone bronze that and put it on a wall.
Actually, here's something I want to dye.
You say Destiny. North America.
No. North American Brewing.
Oh, go to hell.
No, like, look at the biggest players in domestic brewing and name one thing they make that's actually good.
Bud Light Lime. Shut the hell up.
Dude, that's like corn water and lime.
Shut the hell up. You're talking to a St. Louis boy. I am required by law to defend Budweiser to the death.
Yeah, you know what? St. Louis is about 2 years away from a big boom in microbreweries.
Yeah,
some stuff out.
We got a good wheat ale here. I forget the exact name of the microbrewery, but technically Budweiser is not owned by someone in St. Louis. It's owned by someone in Brussels, for
Belgium.
God's sakes. So
yes,
we try and kind of we're doing everything we can to erase that from our memories, but it's not working.
Well, they also sold off the theme parks, so you can't even.
Well, we knew they were going to do that. They said even if they didn't sell out, they were going to sell off SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. But we all knew that was coming long ago.
But yes, basically the biggest selling domestic beers in both America and Canada are just terrible compared to stuff that's made with real ingredients, and that should change.
Busch is good. Budweiser is good. Bud Light Lime is good. And if you say anything different, I will kick you until you say stop.
See, you need to get acquainted with this thing. These things called hops.
Yes, yes, I have.
People used to put them in beer all the time.
They are in beer. They are in Anheuser-Busch's beer.
Now,
you may argue if they put enough in, but they are in. See,
bitter and flavorful.
It is flavorful. See, the thing is, when you're raised in St. Louis, I'm not saying they give it to you in a baby bottle, but they do let you taste it when you're a baby, so you're kind of raised on it. Said, here, son, this is the lifeblood of the city. Drink up.
And now all that money's going to Belgium.
I'm going to go cry in a corner now. Scott, thank you.
And the Belgians, they laugh at your beer.
I'm going to have...
Because they stole their beer from monks. And you know what? See, this is the thing about Belgian beers. All the recipes are cribbed off monks. And these monks, alcohol was the only fun thing they were allowed to have.
So they got damn
good at it.
They got
very good at making it.
Hey, if all you got is beer, you're going to perfect it the best you damn can.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Defender of Destiny. Defender of Destiny. Defender of
Destiny. I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Please don't agree on Commons license. Check out our website at sbopodcast.blogspot.com. Check us out on Twitter at sbopodcast or our Facebook page at I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside. Or kick me an email at sbopodcast@gmail.com.